So I'm really just incredibly thankful and grateful to share with you that this month in June, we're celebrating the 1 year birthday of our membership site, the 360 Club. I created the 360 Club because I feel like it is a full circle experience, no pun intended, about having you be able to get helpful information and resources around how to improve your health and fitness, but also for those of you that are entrepreneurs to get business support at the same time. We have really loved doing this, and the feedback and the testimonials that we have gotten from people inside have been just incredible. It just really makes me incredibly grateful that I'm able to really do this and that I'm able to share this with the people that are inside. And so all month long, I want to invite you, if you are looking for a supportive community, if you're looking for some accountability and some help around your health and fitness, or maybe at the same time, you'd like to get some help on your business, the 360 Club is set up with three tiers. And so all month during the month of June, since it's our birthday month, we're offering 50% off your first month. You can join with the coupon code 360BIRTHDAY. That's 360BIRTHDAY, all one word. You can sign up and join us, try us out for a month. You can get 50% off. You can come inside at the gold level. You can meet with me once a month. At the elite level, you get everything inside of gold. Plus, you can come on one of our retreats throughout the year. Who doesn't want that? So I hope you'll come and join us and help us celebrate our birthday. Again, you can find that link in the show notes and use the coupon code 360BIRTHDAY and come and join us inside.
Welcome to Creating the World's Best Client Experience. This is the business edition of our successful Tuesday flagship show, The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. I'm Allison Kay. I'm a 30-year health and fitness veteran turned business strategist and retreat master. And every Thursday, we're talking about what it takes to create client experiences that actually matter. Because here's what I've noticed. Client experiences have become impersonal, transactional, digital only, and frankly, boring. There, I said it. But the truth is, a client experience is so much more than a transaction. It's about what goes into creating transformation, the strategy behind it, the intentionality, and the human connection. And that's what we're exploring on this show. Whether you're building retreats, hosting events, creating high-touch programs, or reimagining how you serve your clients, this is where we talk about how business owners can create different experiences within their businesses. Experiences that don't just serve clients, they transform them. So if you're ready to go beyond the same old automated funnels and cookie cutter approaches, you're in the right place. Let's dive in and get into the show.
Hey, everybody, it's Allison Katzkowski. Thanks for joining me again today for another edition of Creating the World's Best Client Experience. This is the business edition of our Tuesday flagship show, The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. And today I'm going to dive into something a little bit different. And I'm going to walk you through kind of the process that I've been doing myself for the kind of the midway point of the year. You know, we're recording this, it's close to the end of June. 2026 is about halfway over. And so as a general rule, I like to use a series of questions about every quarter. And I've sort of shared some of that with you on past episodes. But what I want to do today is get into a little bit of kind of what I call the mid-year process. And there's a lot of moving parts going on right now within CU Fitness and the Allison K Agency, especially since we acquired Luxury and Business Retreats back in the spring. And so I thought it might be a really fun thing to do to kind of pull the curtain back and share with you a little bit of my thought process on, you know, how we're doing this, you know, what we're learning, what's going on behind the scenes and all of that. So I've got some notes here that I want to just share with you just a little bit. I'm going to sort of share with you kind of three segments. I'm going to kind of start off, you know, with kind of the questions that I'm asking myself. And, you know, if I'm really being honest, we're sort of still in the introspection part of this, but I always like to show and be completely transparent with you about how we make decisions and how we do things here. We're really in the middle of a pretty big growth phase right now, especially since we acquired Luxury and Business Retreats, and we're kind of merging that in with the Allison K brand, being that, and we're sort of looking at what this is going to look like for us for next year. So a lot of what I'm doing now is evaluating how the year has already gone But I'm also asking myself, okay, where do we want to be in a year from now? Where do we want to be, you know, this time next year? Which I think is something that as business owners, we have to think about. A lot of the decisions that we make now are going to impact where we are next year. They don't necessarily impact what happens tomorrow or next month or even this fall, right? And so if you're sort of at a point in your business where you're thinking about, you're wondering maybe what's next, or you're sort of thinking, you know, about what your goals are for this year, I really want to encourage you to start thinking about all good data points, as I say. But we want to be looking at where you want to be a year from now, because a lot of the foundation, not just the decisions you're making now, but the foundation that you're laying now is going to show up next year, right? And I think that's a really important distinction to make in the world today of how fast everything moves and, you know, how much we focus on, you know, the surface level things, like how many new people do we have in our Facebook group? How many leads are we chasing? You know, what's our pipeline look like? How many new followers do we have? All of that is great, but that doesn't really tell us anything about where we are in our business now and where we want to be next year. And so that's sort of what I want to show you today is this. This is a process that I've had to teach myself, because going from being in person 100% of the time, you know, just a little less than 10 years ago, to now where we only operate about 20%, 20 to 30% in person now, it's a big change. It's a big, you know, metric that we're looking at as to what we're looking at that is successful, that we think is successful, that's working, and what still needs work. Here's a distinction I want to make real quick, is that this is, I'm not just going to give you a list of SMART goals, right? And this is where I think it's so easy to do that and then rely on that and kind of use it as a checklist rather than using this as an opportunity to kind of go inward and say, you know, what are we learning? What are we doing really well? And what do we really want to improve upon, right? So, you know, don't think of it as like putting a fresh coat of paint on the house and calling it a day, right? We want to really look at, kind of pull back the curtain, look at what's actually going on and what can we tweak, what can we adjust, what's going to put us in an even better position than where we are now next year, okay? So, you know, I'm not treating this like a performance review. It's simply just a check-in, and it's simply a chance to really get honest with yourself and hopefully increase your awareness about where you are, what you're building and what you're creating. Because look, it's the end of June. You're further along than you were in January, regardless of what's happening, right? And you sort of have to remember that, I think, as a business owner. We get focused on the end goal and we forget about all the little things that have had to happen between the new year and now, okay? But at the same time, we want to create that awareness. And if it means getting a little uncomfortable with the things that maybe haven't been working, then it's a good time to do that now while you still have some time to correct it before the end of the year, okay? So I'm not judging, and I'm not judging myself, and I don't want you to judge yourself when I share this process with you. I merely just want to give you sort of, you know, a blueprint on how you might want to think about doing this with yourself and your business, okay? So it's really about where you are now and the fact that you're further along than you were in January or even December of last year, okay? So let's start off with the questions that I'm asking myself, okay? I'm not asking myself, have I hit my goals yet? But what I am asking myself is, are opportunities where I can really be introspective and I can say, I don't know that that's really working yet the way that I want it, right? So here are the questions that I'm playing with myself right now. And I'll probably record another episode in a few months, maybe this fall or maybe more toward the end of the year. And I'll sort of give you a status report on where a lot of that is, okay? So number one, what did I learn about my own through line that I didn't know in January? Now look, we do a lot of work with program promise, business promise, retreat promise, okay? And really the central key element with all that is what I call the through line. That's sort of, think of it like a red line that runs through everything in your business. And this is really your promise in its purest form. So if what you help people do is lose weight, I mean, that's obviously very general. You're probably going to get a lot more specific than that. But if what you help people do is achieve a weight loss goal or a fitness goal, then what you want to get at is what the real change is with that. So, you know, the achieving a fitness goal and a weight loss goal really isn't like a program promise. It's really like what people can expect to see or get. But really what you're selling is the change underneath that. It's the change in identity. It's the change in who somebody is when they achieve that, right? And so for us, what we always want to be looking at is, you know, for me personally, and within as the main driver in my business, I want to be looking at, am I executing my through line in the best way through the work that I still do with fitness and the business coaching and consulting work that we do and the work that we now do with lots of retreat professionals and helping them build retreats into the ecosystem of their business? For us, our through line is really about helping you build more capacity, right? Capacity meaning stamina, strength, endurance, and all of that shows up in how successful and how you're able to grow your business, right? Because that's really the central through line in everything that we do. When you build more capacity into your business, you know, it can be a couple of different ways. It can be about helping you grow an offer and scaling it, right? If you have one signature program or one offer, for example, and you're looking at really scaling that and growing that and having that be the one thing that you do, right? That's one way. And in order to do that, you have to build an ecosystem around it so that you're able to achieve that goal, right? But in our case, what we help our clients do is build an ecosystem so that their business has more capacity, right? That's not much different than when I help someone with a fitness goal and helping them build more capacity. Capacity can be energy. It can be stamina. It can be strength. It can be emotional resilience, right? It can be the ability to teach yourself to do hard things. All those things fall within capacity. And so our central through line in everything that we do is that, because capacity can show up in your business in terms of having more doors into your house, so to speak, right? That's what we like to think of. The offers in your business are really just doors into a house, right? With your program promise being the house, right? And so that's kind of how people achieve and experience your work, right? So what did I learn about my own through line? What I have learned so far, I'll just be real and honest with you here. What I'm figuring out more and more, the more people that I talk to and the more people that I work with is it's really more about an identity shift in them, right? You will never grow more as an individual than when you become an entrepreneur. And the growth in your business will mirror your own personal growth. So if you feel stuck in your personal life, that's going to show up in your business and vice versa. And what I'm learning more and more about our through line and the ability to achieve and grow more capacity is that in order to do that, there is an identity shift. There's a way for you to see yourself delivering your work. And maybe it's transitioning, going from in-person to online, or maybe it's from online to in-person, or maybe it's figuring out a way to use both. That's definitely an exercise in growing capacity, okay? And what I'm learning more and more about our through line is that this is really the essence of the work that we do, because we will only take our clients as far as the work that we're willing to do on ourselves, okay? So that's one question. Where did I get a yes that I now should have said no to? I'm going to be honest. This is something that I'm still thinking about and I'm still working on, but I think it's a great question to ask yourself, right? I think sometimes we see an opportunity in business and we think, this sounds really good. I'm going to go for it. But we get into it and we're like, I'm not so sure I should have done that, right? I have to be honest, I really haven't come up against that just yet this year. I am still working on this, so I will probably have a little bit more to share with you at a little later date, but it is a really good question to ask, okay? What's working that I haven't doubled down on yet, and why am I dragging my feet on it? This is always a really interesting question to ask ourselves, right? Especially when you're in business. It's always a really good idea to check in with yourself and say, you know what? I've been saying I'm going to do this, so why haven't I? Why haven't I pulled the plug? Why haven't I pulled the trigger? Why haven't I said yes to something yet, right? You know, it's like I shared with you back in the spring when I recorded the 2-episode mini-series on the acquisition of luxury and business retreats. And I sort of walked you through my thought process on how I made that decision. And then in part 2, Aaron and I had a conversation about how we did this together, right? And I think those are really good, impactful episodes. It really kind of gives you a lot of the behind the scenes. If you haven't had a chance to listen to either of those yet, I would really recommend that you go back to that. Those were released back in March, okay, more toward the end of March, beginning of April. So go back and check those out. I believe when I recorded those episodes, the way I approached it is, when is it time to make a change? When is it time to innovate and make a big change in your business? And for me, it was a big process. It was a 2-3 month process to kind of get myself to the point where I could make that decision. And look, that might be where you are right now, and that's totally fine. Now is a really good time to do that simply because it is the halfway point of the year, okay? But it's always a good thing to ask. If you've been thinking about doing something in your business and you haven't yet, why haven't you? It's sort of like when I worked in fitness, I used to tell people, you know, if you knew what to do, you'd be doing it already. How many times have we told ourselves that story? I'll figure it out. But look, if you haven't figured it out yet, you probably aren't going to figure it out, is my point. So if you're out there sitting on an idea, maybe it's a retreat, maybe it's a membership, maybe it's a course, maybe it's something new, why haven't you pulled the trigger on it? I mean, if I'm being really honest, there really isn't much I haven't pulled the trigger on this year. This whole process is an exercise in growth for me. And I think I shared with you back not too long ago that my one word for 2026 is faith. And when you have faith, when you anchor yourself in faith on a daily basis, I'm not talking just religious faith, okay? Because I do that too. But when you anchor yourself in faith, you're really trusting that things will be revealed and that you can say yes before you see the evidence. And this right here, to me, is the true essence of being a successful entrepreneur. It's being able to say yes to things when you don't know if it's going to work. And it's trusting that you're going to know the next step to take, which is really all we have to know in this moment is what's my next step. We don't have to know 3 months from now what it's going to look like. But unfortunately, this is where a lot of people get stuck. And that's a muscle I've really had to work on strengthening too. But if I'm being completely transparent, as of right now, there really isn't much I have not, you know, regretted saying yes to yet this year. Okay. I might change my mind more toward the end of the year, and I will be definite to share that with you when that's the case. Okay. What am I doing out of habit instead of strategy? This is another really good question. Okay. I've had to really streamline my schedule a lot. I've had to really work on plugging in what I call my non-negotiables, my workout time, my writing time, the time that I use to create and dream. This is really, really important as an entrepreneur to do this. And for a long time, I did not. It was sort of one of those things that I just said, well, when I have time, I'll get to it. And that might be where you are right now. But I would really encourage you to have that time built into your calendar. I recommend starting with at least an hour or two block and then working from there. Right now, on Mondays and Fridays, I don't do a lot of client delivery. Those are my days. Those are sacred times for me. I don't do any more early morning appointments or calls. That's my time to work out. That's my time to myself. And that took me a long time to work into because I can tell you, owning a brick and mortar fitness studio for a lot of years, I had a lot of early mornings that clients wanted me and needed me, okay? But I don't start before 8 o'clock usually for workouts with clients now because that early time is mine. But that's something that I've had to really work on. So all of that gets scheduled, okay? I schedule in office time, usually in 2 or 3 hour blocks. I usually have at least one on Monday and one on Friday. And sometimes if I'm lucky, on a Thursday too. But it really just depends on how my week goes. But usually the majority of my client work is on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then if I have to schedule something on a Monday or a Friday, I can. But I usually don't need to. But if I have to, it's usually a one-off or it's something that just doesn't happen very often. So I would just encourage you to look at that too, okay? What am I doing out of habit instead of strategy? You know, we get wired to do things the same way. And if you have to wonder why you're not growing in your business or why you're not making progress, look at that first. What are you doing out of habit instead of, is this going to move me forward? Is this something that I can really rinse and repeat and plug and play on a regular basis and have it work for me, right? And the last question is this. If I only looked at revenue and energy, not just the task list, what would those two numbers tell me? This is something where I'm spending a lot of time right now because from acquiring a business in the spring and merging it in with my own, and not to mention the existing clients and the regular things I've already made commitments to, the clients that I'm already serving. If I looked at just revenue and energy, what would those two numbers tell me? I think when you look at your bottom line, it tells you a lot about where you are, but it doesn't tell the whole story, okay? But I think what you have to really ask yourself is if that number's not where you think it should be or where you want it to be, I think you do have to look in the mirror and you have to look at where you're spending your time every day. Where are those little 30-minute windows that you could be spending on lead gen or outreach? Where are those being spent? And I think we sort of think that we need big blocks of time to do that. And sometimes when I tell a client that, the first thing that they say is, well, I don't have that kind of time to do it. So my next response usually is, okay, rather than saying, why not? I say, okay, well, then let's start with something smaller. Let's start with like 30 minutes or an hour. But you have to do that on a regular basis. That's one of those tasks as a business owner that you have to be involved with. And so the question is not how much are you doing, but when are you doing it and is it working for you? Okay. Because if your revenue isn't growing, chances are it's one of two things. There's either a problem with your pricing and how your offers are positioned. Okay. Or you're doing too many tasks in your business that aren't what I call revenue producing. And it's usually a combination of those two things with my clients and a lot of the clients that we work with. Okay. The good news is those are two things that we can fix. Because sometimes I think what we have to figure out is an offer actually going to work for people before we think about what we're going to charge for it? You know, I think pricing can be viewed through a couple of different lenses. And my good friend and colleague, Erin Haig, is an expert in this. So if you are looking at something like this in your business, please feel free to reach out to her or DM me and I will connect you to her. I think what we have to look at with pricing is, you know, I think we have to look at, okay, what is a reasonable price for me to charge? It's just not just a random number that you pull out of the air, right? Or you don't base it on what everyone else is doing. You have to look at what do you need to grow and sustain your business, right? But at the same time, I think what you have to look at is what is something that I need in order to hit my numbers, right? But on the other hand, I think what you have to also think about is what will the market pay? Not just what do I deserve, but what will the market pay? Because the market ultimately determines what people will buy.
So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product and it's called Cellevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Cellevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result. Or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Cellevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day. And what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Cellevate.com, which is Cellevate.com. And use my special promo code, the Allison K 2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this.
Right. And if you price something at a certain point and people aren't buying, remember there's one of two things going on when that's the case. Okay. They don't know what they're getting and they don't believe they can get the result. That's my personal opinion, but I have plenty of evidence to back that up. But I don't think it's really a good idea to just say, well, this is what I'm charging and that's the end of it. I think, especially with a new offer, I think you really have to validate it to some degree with the public, right? And then as you build your business and you build demand, that's when you can raise your prices, right? So there's a number of different things that you have to think about. So I guess my point and with this question is, don't just be fixated on the number. Look at what got you to that number. Is it like a tremendous amount of work for you to be generating revenue in your business? And if it is, you're probably trying to do too many things. These are all things that are fixable though, okay? And either way, it's a good thing just to look at and get really real and honest with yourself, okay? So that's part one. Those are the questions that I just wanted to run by you. These are the questions that I'm still sitting with, that I'm still trying to think about. And I just like to always share with you kind of what my process is, okay? So now, in part two, or in the second part of this episode, I want to sort of give you kind of a report on where we are with the Luxury Business Retreats acquisition, which became official on March 31st of this year. Now, they're still, we're nearly 3 months in. There's still a lot of things that I'm looking at, but we do have a lot of things that we've evaluated and a lot of things that we've made some decisions on. And so, you know, this is really sort of like me, unpacking kind of the process I use when I unpack after a retreat, okay? Is I like to look at what's worked, what I've learned, and what still needs work. So I like to think about it in three buckets. And I really do this with retreats. I do this with programs. I do this with just about everything that we offer. So let me get into the first item first, and that is what's worked, okay? What's worked really well is it really has been a very seamless transition, is that, and a lot of it is because I was already inside Erin's membership. I knew a lot of people. I knew everybody that was in there. And so what I've really tried to do is kind of, you know, make this more of a seamless transition in how I show up for the whole community. In that, you know, showing up and making sure that people know that I'm here, but being an active participant in that. In other words, mirroring the kind of energy that I would like to see. Okay, so I want to be the example of that because we cannot do anything that we haven't already done ourselves, right? So the overlap has really worked well. You know, I've sort of picked up the baton on the first day and I've emailed the entire community just about every day the whole time that this acquisition is beneficial, right? And the business is now mine. And I did that because in my mind, I was introducing myself to a number of different people who didn't know me. And so I feel like, you know, as much as you might think email is impersonal for a lot of people and for a lot of reasons, it is the way that I'm communicating with everybody now. And so that's gone really well. I've had a lot of conversations with people. I've had a lot of people reach out. I've had a lot of people tell me, people at the Retreat Industry Forum in May, tell me how much they like my emails and how much they're getting out of it. And that's the whole reason why I do it, right? Is that, you know, you're doing it to kind of build your audience and nurture that audience and keep them close, right? And that's worked really well. I've made some changes to the Retreat Profit Society. I've created more access to me. I've given members coaching at every level. I've given access to a retreat at every level. And to me, I've really made it more value-laden, if you will. It's not that it wasn't value-laden before, but I feel like what people really wanted was more support. And I think that's something that we've done really well. And at least that's the feedback that I'm hearing from members and from people who see how I've redesigned the Retreat Profit Society, is that I'm overall getting really good comments on that. So I think that's a win. Okay. And then the last thing that I think we've done really well is, and I've sort of alluded to this already, is what I call the credibility transfer. I think, you know, I'm not new to the retreat space, and I feel like for a lot of people, they already saw me as an expert. So it wasn't like Erin was handing this off to somebody that people didn't know, that they didn't know anything about. Now, there are a lot of people that I still don't have really solid relationships with, and I'm working on that. That's a process. But I feel like as far as seeing me as a credible expert, it's been a win because, you know, we've been very strategic about how we rolled out the acquisition, how we notified people, how we've created this open chain of communication. And I think that's really, really important to do, not just in business in general, but anytime you're doing something new or you're picking up the baton from somebody else and you're all of a sudden the go-to person, you really want to make sure that, you know, the perception is that this wasn't just an overnight decision and that this is a well-thought-out decision. This is a decision that was made that both of us felt like in the best interest of the members and for the retreat industry in general. So I feel like that's really been a big win. So I'm super proud of that. And I just feel like it's just going to get better from here. So I also want to talk next about what I've learned now with the LIBR acquisition. And this is, you know, something that I'm still digesting, but I did have some data that I want to share, at least some observations, because I think this is a big part of the process. And that is that I think you can have the greatest of intentions, but until you get inside something and understand like the workings and talk to people, you don't really know for sure. And so, you know, I shared with you back in the spring when I recorded the two-part episode that, you know, one of my biggest goals was to obviously retain as many people as I could, but obviously focus on recruiting some new people too. Now, we've been able to do that really well. We had a really good month in May. We had 5 new members join. And we've been able to retain a couple of the members that were set to, their membership time was up and they've chosen to stay on. And this month, what I'm finding is that, you know, there always has to be those two things in mind. You always want to be servicing your existing people, but also be thinking and reaching out and recruiting new people as well. And so one of the things that I've figured out in talking to people is that I wanted to see, first of all, where they were and what they wanted, what would work for them, what did they think was missing, what would help them the most. I didn't just want to make those decisions out of thin air without thinking about that. And I also wanted to make sure that the improvements that I made were in alignment with that. Now, there are some people that I've spoken to that have decided not to continue, which is fine. This happens all the time. With the membership model, you have to be comfortable with people coming and going. You want to have a period of time that you agree to what kind of commitment there is. But then once that commitment has been satisfied, then it really is an issue of whether or not you want to stay or not. And so we're still knee deep in that process, but I'm really proud of what we've been able to do. I'm proud of the fact that we've been able to continue to service people with more of what they want rather than less of what they want. And the changes that I wanted to make, what I found the more and more people that I talked to, the changes that I wanted to make were in alignment with what people wanted, which was really good news. So I feel like a lot of what we're doing is working. You know, at the end of the year, I think I'll have a lot more data to look at. But so far, I feel like it's a big win. I feel like, you know, the transition has been smooth. And I feel like what we've been able to do with people is give them more of what they want and basically over deliver, which is really always my philosophy, is over deliver, give people more than what they expect. And people are almost always happy with that, right? And then what they choose to do, you know, becomes their decision, right? So I'm really happy with that. But I also, what I really find is the more that you talk to people is you learn a lot more based on what's actually happening, you know, rather than just what the spreadsheet's telling you. So like what I was saying with the questions is when you're looking at the revenue and the data and the energy that you're putting into your business and what you're doing, do those two line up? And I feel like in this instance, it absolutely lines up. The revenue that we're generating absolutely matches the energy and everything that we're putting into servicing our members and making sure they're getting what they want and more. So I'm very much at peace with that. So I feel like as we move along for the rest of the year, there's just going to be even more improvements that we're going to make. So for example, in July, instead of doing our set group coaching call, because in the past, there hasn't been a group coaching call in July. So I sort of had a decision, do I go ahead and do it or do I give people the month off? So what we're doing instead is we're doing two office hours calls, because I really think that particularly for people who are just adding retreats, having connections to others is really important. So we're going to create, or we've already created, two different days at different times that we're going to offer an office hours call. And it's basically like a study hall. So it's an hour where if you want to get help with something, you can. If you want to workshop something, we can do that. It's just really another touch point. And it's a way to give people a little bit more of what they want. Now in August, we'll go back to doing our regular monthly group coaching call. But if the office hours goes really well, we could potentially add this as a second call every month, which I think would be very helpful for people. I really think that at the end of the day, you never go wrong with more support. You just never do. That's always been my mantra. I've always been that way. Even when I worked 100% in person with my clients, it was always giving them more of what they wanted, not less. And, you know, a lot of coaches will say, well, you want to train people to, you know, you don't want to, you know, overstretch yourself or whatever. You don't want to train people to stay on your timetable. I get that. I'm not suggesting that you violate your boundaries. That's definitely something I've had to work on. It's not something that I'm changing really anytime soon. However, I do believe in giving people more of what they want. And if that means scheduling a little more time, having an additional call or whatever else, provided that it fits into my schedule appropriately to where I'm not getting rid of something that's important to me, I'm totally fine to do it, because at the end of the day, it's a win. It's a win because people get more of what they want. And I get to help them do that. And that's the way that I see it. And so all in all, I feel like considering what we've learned and where we came in and the changes that we made, I feel like we've done a really good job with that. Now, what do I still want to build? With any new thing that you do in your business, I think you want to ask yourself this. Am I good with the way it is now? Do I see myself making more changes? Or you know, am I okay with this the way that it is? And I feel like, you know, for where we are, I feel like, you know, my goal coming into the acquisition was not to make any big changes this year. It was mostly to improve what the Retreat Profit Society was in terms of offering people the support that they wanted and, in my opinion, that they needed. And so now, for the rest of the year, my plan is not to make any big changes. My plan is to continue to do what we've been doing, continue to talk to people, focus on member retention, focus on recruitment, and continue to test new things out each month. If the office hours calls go well in July, we'll continue those. If they don't, maybe we'll come up with something else. I still think there's a lot of room for improvement. And so I'm open to that. And so my thought is at the end of this year, I'm going to have a lot more data and a lot more information to work with. And then I can make, you know, changes going forward for next year based on that. You know, I feel like in terms of my leadership skills, I'm always willing to look at that. I feel like any good leader should be willing to do that, look themselves in the mirror and say, okay, how can I become better at what I do? You know, I think a lot of my strength is in being direct. It's being very straightforward. It's having a lot of integrity. That's one of my core values. If I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm absolutely going to do it. And I feel like as far as that goes, my leadership skills are very rock solid. Now, one of the things that I'm still having to learn is working with a larger team. You know, we have more team members now than what I'm used to. And so I've never been extremely good at delegating. I'll just be really honest about that. But I feel like at the end of the day, this is something that I'm leaning into. And what I'm finding out is that it's not really a sign of weakness to give things up. It's not a sign of weakness to say we're not going to do that anymore. It's actually a sign of strength because you're leading from a place where you feel certain and you're leading from a place where you feel good, right? And look, we're never going to be good at everything, right? And if you think you're going to be good at everything in your business, then you probably should have your head examined because I don't know a single business owner who thinks that, okay? But what I do know is that I can always get better and I'm always willing to do that. That's why I invest in support for myself. That's why I work with a coach. I don't ask anybody to do anything that I'm not willing to do myself. I think that's huge as a business owner, particularly if you're a coach. You have to be willing to model the same thing that you expect others to do. You have to be willing to model it yourself. And so I really want to encourage you, if that's you, if you're wondering, if you're bumping up against a ceiling, maybe you're at a point where, you know, you feel like you need someone to kind of help you see your blind spots, I really recommend that you do that. I feel like you never go wrong when you invest in yourself. And any good leader knows that. Okay. So, and that's always an area I think where we can look at as business owners. And so I really just want to keep building this the way that it is. I feel like we have a great opportunity to do something in the retreat industry that just hasn't been done yet. And I really want that challenge. That's one of the reasons why I said yes to doing this and why I'm really excited about where we are, even though we're just halfway through the year. So in terms of where I want to leave this, I want to give you kind of a little mini process that maybe you can use yourself for your own mid-year evaluation, okay? I like to call this the three bucket system, okay? You don't need a worksheet. There's no PDF. There's nothing here that I'm going to say, go to the show notes and download. All I want you to think about are these three things: keep, kill, and build, okay? So what does that look like? So in your business, when you look at what you're going to keep, look at what's working. Why is it working? And do you feel good about how it's working? And if that's the case, then keep it. No questions asked, no need to deep dive, no need to do what my coach calls forensic mindset and how did I get here? What's going on? I need to focus on why I am who I am. Don't do that. If it's working, you know what they say? If it's not broke, don't fix it. That's it. If it's working, keep it. Okay. Now, if you're going to get rid of something, if maybe what you're doing has kind of run its course. You know, I think we all get to certain places in business where we do things and we think, you know what? I think that season has passed. You know, I think that's just not working as well as it used to. And I think sometimes when that's the case, I think it's a case of us outgrowing it. Or maybe it's no longer in alignment with where we're moving. So if that's the case, kill it. And look, you don't have to make a big production. We're not doing this anymore or whatever. You can just retire it. You can retire it quietly. you can do, if you want to go out with a bang, you can say, this is the last time we're going to do this, so come get on board. I have a colleague a couple years ago who did that with her Instagram program. She was hugely successful at doing it, but recognized that the season had kind of come and gone. And so the last time that she ran it, she said, this is the last time I'm doing it. And she way oversold it, but she did it because she wanted to make sure that anyone who wanted to take it could. And I think all of us reach that point in our business with certain things. We're like, they're just things that just aren't working anymore. Maybe your heart's not in it. Maybe you just feel like that season has come and gone. It's totally okay to do that. You don't have to keep doing it just because you always have. And I think a lot of business owners make that mistake. Well, I've always done it this way. Well, this is what I'm known for. I've always done this. You know, I don't want to give it up if it's something that I've always done. Well, I think if that's the case, I think you really need to look at that, because if it's not serving its purpose anymore and it feels like a drag, or worse, it's draining you, then it's definitely time to just let it go. Okay. And there is a time and a place for that. And then the last piece to this is build. Okay. So think about, remember on the questions when I said, what's something that you really want to do, but you haven't pulled the trigger on yet in your business? What's something that you keep thinking about, but maybe you just haven't pressed go yet, or you haven't taken that first step? And I really want you to sit with this, because there's still a lot that we want to do. There's a lot that I still want to add to the Retreat Profit Society. There's a lot of other things that I want to really dial up more. But I also know that my bandwidth right now is about at its maximum place. And I also know that for the things that I want to keep building, that there is going to come a time and a place when I'm going to be able to do that. So if that's the case, recognize what that is. Maybe you keep a list in the top drawer of your desk. Maybe you keep a little sheet of paper on your bulletin board where you can see it every day. Put it in a place where you can be reminded. Okay. This isn't something that you just want to shove under the rug and hope that a rainy day shows up and you finally have the time to do it. Okay. You want to keep telling yourself, you know what? I'm going to build that one day, but maybe not right now. But I think what's more important is asking yourself, why are you waiting? And making sure that it's coming from a place of, I'm just not quite ready. And maybe it's not the right time or whatever, because we tend to kick the can down the road when we're not sure. And I guess what I want you to understand is that you don't have to be 100% sure, but if it is a timing and a bandwidth issue, that is something you should look at. So just to re-summarize, think of your evaluation process as going into three buckets. Think about it as keep, kill, and build. And so I just want to close with this whole idea. I wanted to record this episode not so that you could create a checklist or a new set of SMART goals or any of that bullshit. Don't do that. And more importantly, don't give yourself a big guilt trip about where you are. Okay. I think what's more important is to pat yourself on the back, first of all, for where you are. You're further along than you were in January. And understand that if there probably is still work to do, and that's okay. That, you know, it's just important to acknowledge and recognize where you are and understand what your next step is. And I think that's probably the most important thing that I want you to walk away with from today. Okay. So that's what I got for you today. A little bit about how I evaluate my progress. We're kind of knee deep in this process right now. I'll share a little bit more with you closer to the end of this year about how all this is working out. And I would love to hear your feedback. If you have questions or comments, or if anything you'd like to share, please just hit me up in my DMs. You can reach out to me at allison@theallisonk.com. You can go to my website and that's www.theallisonk.com, and just hit connect. And just send me a message and just say, hey, this really landed for me. This is something that I'm working on. We always love to hear from you. And just know that we're grateful for all of you. Thanks for all of your support. And thanks for always supporting us and following us and sharing our episodes with your friends. If you know somebody who you think this episode would be helpful for, please don't hesitate to share it with them. We sure do appreciate it. And that's what I got for you this week, folks, on the podcast. We will see you next week. Bye.